Take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 2. We're going to be going through the Church of Smyrna today. Revelation chapter 2, beginning to read with the 8th verse through the 11th verse. Revelation 2, verse 8. And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write these things, saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come and enjoy this time. I praise you for the time that we had during Sunday school as we are looking and studying through your word, through the different classes. And please, dear Lord, that you just show us so clearly your way. And we know that, first of all, you want us to come to the cross of Calvary, that each one that is here will be born again, that they'll be saved. And as we close this last verse out, it said the second death. And Father, please that there'll be no one here that would have to face that second death. And if today, Father, we have ears to hear, let them hear that they can come by faith and receive your free gift of salvation. Dear Lord, please, you died on the cross of Calvary that we can live. And please, that we believe in the heart, not just in the mind, but in the heart. And Father, take this study today and for each one of us, apply it to our hearts. Whether it be for salvation or for the need of the day, whatever it is, please, please, that you just, please that our ears be open to hear. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. If you'll look even before we kind of get started with this, there are several things in the seven churches that are all alike. And I want you to see this as we go through this study in Revelation. In verse 2, it says, I know thy works. And then in verse 9, with the church of Smyrna, that was church of Ephesus. In the ninth verse for the church of Smyrna, I know thy works. In the 13th verse for the church of Pergamos, I know thy works. In the church of Thyatira, verse 19, I know thy works. We move on to chapter 3 to the church of Sardis, I know thy works. And down in the church of Philadelphia in the 8th verse of chapter 3, I know thy works. Also with the church of Laodicea in the 15th verse of chapter 3, I know thy works. Now let's go back to chapter 2 again. There's something else that is here. And the second thing is, he that hath an ear, let him hear, is in the 7th verse of chapter 2 for the church of Ephesus. Also for the church of Smyrna, you'll find that in verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear. For the church of Pergamos in the 17th verse, he that hath an ear, let him hear. For the church of Thyatira, verse 29, he that hath an ear, let him hear. In chapter 3, for the church of Sardis, verse 6, he that hath an ear, let him hear. The church of Philadelphia, the 3rd chapter, verse 13, he that hath an ear, let him hear. In the church of Laodicea, in the 22nd verse of the 3rd chapter, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Two things that I want to point out before we even get started. Number one, God knows. He says, I know. And he does. He knows everything you're going through. He knows everything. I know. And so when we begin there, I know thy works. And so that's clearly there. Now, there are only two churches, Smyrna and Philadelphia, that does not have a condemnation from God. And so these two, Smyrna and then later the Church of Philadelphia, are churches that only have God's good words to be spoken to them. The rest of them have things that that need to be dealt with, and God deals with them in His Word. But the important thing is that to know that God knows our works, He knows. And so that means He knows every need we have. He knows everything. And then at the same time, he that hath an ear, let him hear. I want you to know that always God can speak to you. Always there is something to learn. And so we come into His house today, or you open His Word up this afternoon, or you get to your time of devotion tomorrow. Every time that you spend any time with Him, you have something to learn. And so, and he that hath an ear, let him hear, and God knows everything. And so when you have a need, and so we look at these seven churches, I wanted you to see that every one of these seven churches fall into that same category. Every one of them and every one of us fall into that same line. He knows and He wants to help. And the only way He can help is if we hear. He that hath an ear, let him hear. And so with that in mind now, we're going to go through a short history lesson here just a little bit with this church of Smyrna. Smyrna means myrrh or bitterness. And when we look at what the church is going through, the name sure fits the church. We find it to be about 40 miles to the north and a little bit to the west of the city of Ephesus. And but we need to know that not only does the church, the name of the church, Smyrna, meaning bitterness and myrrh, stand for what we're going to study today, but this is also used in the embalming and in death. And so something else that we need to know that, again, the word Smyrna means myrrh, and the only way that myrrh can have a wonderful fragrance, anybody want to guess how that is? It's got to be crushed. And the finer it's crushed, the sweeter it smells. Now, you know, it's the same way with us. When we get rid of self and let God have His perfect will, the more that we surrender to Him, the sweeter the day is going to be. And so, and it's the same thing here. Even though this church had nothing of the world, but they had everything when it comes to the Lord. Even though each church of the seven churches says, I know, and we were through the last 2 weeks through the church of Ephesus, even though it says, I know thy works, and he that hath an ear, let him hear, even with the two, being Smyrna and Philadelphia, that had no condemnation of God, there was still something to learn. Oh, we're in the world. We're walking in the world. We're getting dirty from the old floor, as the tabernacle has a dirt floor. They go continually to the wash basin to wash so that they can prepare themselves for fellowship and for worship of the Lord. And we need to do the same thing. So even though there wasn't a complaint of the church, there was still a need of the church. And so everyone needs to hear. And so this period of time now is a time of great persecution. And so keep that in mind as we study through this this time here. And it is under a great persecution of Rome, and they are literally crushing or trying to crush this church and Christianity. They want to do away with it, and so they're doing everything they can do to do that, and it's being done through the government means, and many martyrs will be present at the seat of Christ whenever because, and they're going to receive a very special crown because of what they have went through. The city of Smyrna is much like Ephesus. It is very strong in commerce because of its location. It is a coastal city, and so it has an opportunity to have great wealth. Usually when it means commerce, it means great wealth, and they did have great wealth in the city. The city was known as a very beautiful city, and it had even been tagged, and you think that's something being of today, but they were named the beautiful city. And so Smyrna, again, in its location and its great wealth, it also is kind of second place to Ephesus in the practice of idolatry. Wealth and idolatry many times come hand in hand. And so we find this to be true with this city of Smyrna. And so all these things this little church is dealing with here that is found in Smyrna. We're not sure of its date of founding because Paul makes no mention of the church of Smyrna. And so we don't know when it was founded, but I'm sure that he is the founder of it. We find that between the Jews by name and the heathens, they were the ones that brought this great persecution to this little church. And they would bring in local laws that would stand against this church and stand against Christians. And then here would come the Jews by name only and the heathens, and they would say, here, there's the law, now you carry that law out. You know, it's beginning to sound like the United States of America, doesn't it? And so because the heathen and the lost are going against the church, they don't care about any other of the religions. They just hate the church, and they're bringing laws and things against us to condemn us and literally destroy us. We know that that's not going to take place, but they are trying, and they did it in this day of the day of with Smyrna. This persecution that was in this area against the church was a persecution that lasted almost 250 years. And so it was a long time of struggle and trial and tribulation. We know that this church, this letter here, the letter to the Church of Smyrna, is the shortest of all of them. And so as we look at this small letter, they have no comments of reproach. On the other hand, the church of Laodicea, the final church, which is the church age we're in today, God had nothing good to say. It was all statements of reproach. Also, Smyrna is a poor, very, very poor. Poverty is a word that is used here in the ninth verse. And so they were of great poverty. On the other hand, the church of Laodicea was a church with great wealth. And so sometimes we find that the great wealth and great prosperity, instead of bringing a person closer to the Lord and thanking Him and praising Him for what He has given us, we do the opposite. We do the opposite. It takes us away. We don't seem to maybe need Him. I love the introduction, and also all seven churches have an introduction, and every introduction is different. And I'm going to say an introduction to the speaker, the one that is speaking here, which is none other than the Lord Jesus, as He is speaking here. And when He does, why He is introduced, His introduction is a little bit different. And so if you would look at all of these introductions, and the first one being in verse 1 of chapter 2 for the church of Ephesus, "These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." That was how the speaker was being heard. You know, when you go to some conference, why they give all the lines of where they have taught or pastored. If it's a pastor's conference or something, then all the degrees that they hold and all these things, they list them all before he stands up to preach. Well, here we have the perfect one, God Himself, and getting a wonderful explanation here. And just these are wonderful to look at. "These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." That was the first church, the church of Ephesus. The church of Smyrna, now in verse 8, "These things saith he, the first and the last, which was dead and is alive." Now, the third church, Pergamos, these things, verse the middle of verse 12, saith he that hath the sharp sword with two edges. The fourth, Thyatira. These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. The next, Sardis. These things saith he that hath seven spirits of God and the seven stars. And then Philadelphia. These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. And then of Laodicea, write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And so just those introductions are wonderful to see. And so we see that God knows, I know. We see a little by these seven partial verses of Scripture who our God is. And then we see at the end of each one of these letters that he wants us to listen. And so some things for us to learn today. And here with this introduction of verse 8 for the church of Smyrna, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. The first. He is the beginning of all in time and above all in power. Let's learn who our God is. The last now, he is after all, he closes all things, he is the consummation of all things. He is the eternal one. He is from eternity through eternity. Yet, he came into this world to die. That was his purpose, to come into this world to die. And yet death had no claim upon him because he had not sinned. Nevertheless, he died that we might live, that we might have life. He entered into the very heart of death. He conquered death, and he rose again on the third day. These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. What a blessing. What a blessed time to know the one that is risen from the dead. And I hope that you know him personally. Not just about him, but know him personally. And it begins here, and John writes by the inspiration of the Spirit of God and by the words of the Lord, I know thy works. I know. And again, the Lord Jesus, our Savior, knows every heartache. He knows every pain. He knows every tear. He knows every burden. There is nothing that you cannot take to him and know with a surety that he is going to lift you up and give you strength and wisdom to carry out each day. And the Lord tells this little congregation here, this little church here, I know thy works. I know thy tribulation. This church has been through the fires, and they continued through almost all of its life through the fire. There was constant persecution to this little church. And the sad thing is that this little church is, again, one of two that didn't have a criticism. And yet they were the ones that, another word here is poverty, tribulation, and poverty. These people had nothing. If they had anything, it was taken away from them. They possessed nothing. And yet we find that by their having nothing, yet the word says they are rich. Because you see, they didn't claim onto something of this life and this world. They claimed onto the Lord Jesus Christ and the life to come. And so they had something they were looking forward to. It's so sad that the church that's persecuted is a church that grows, and the church that is kind of laid back and easy and not facing any persecution is a church that has very little growth, if any. It almost dies. and many times does. God supplies every need, and we must call upon Him for that need. A couple of examples here that we find in the Word of God of those that faced persecution, and it was a blessing to them. And one is one that most of us are familiar with, and that's Paul. You know, Paul, number one, faced persecution continually as he spread the gospel, gave the gospel out, and brought people by the hundreds and by the thousands to the Lord Jesus. And he faced persecution from all sides, but he also had a physical ailment. And that physical ailment, he asked the Lord many times to remove that. He wanted that taken from him. And he asked and he pleaded that the Lord would take that from him. But you know, the Lord didn't. The Lord did not take that from him. God said to him, I will give you all the necessary grace. I will give you all the necessary power. And my friend, Paul was richer because of it. So sometimes when we have these trials and this tribulation, and maybe it's physical, maybe it isn't physical, we need to turn to our Lord and realize that He is making us stronger. He is strengthening us. And if we'll turn to Him, He will give us wisdom and power to carry through each day. Another example is one that is found in Daniel chapter 3. And that's, we were just about there this morning in the Sunday school class, because we're beginning to look at the image that Nebuchadnezzar has witnessed. But these three Hebrews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we know that there was this image of gold that was built for Nebuchadnezzar. And we know when the psaltery and the dulcimer and all those instruments were played, when they were all played, then they were immediately to bow down and worship and praise the Lord. They were to do that. And so as we look at this time, we find that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not fall down and worship the image. And when they were to fall down and worship the image, and they refused to, they suffered the consequences. They faced tribulation. They faced persecution. Well, that persecution put them in a fiery furnace, a furnace that the enemy heated up seven times greater than ever. And if you'll read the story, you'll find that those that threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the furnace died. And yet, through that trial, through that fire, what did it gain Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? It gained them something that few ever got to do, and that's to see and to walk with the Lord Jesus. Who's that fourth man when they looked down in that furnace? If they hadn't went through that trial, if they hadn't went through that time of tribulation, they would not have experienced that wonderful fellowship with the Lord carrying through that fiery furnace. And when they came out of that furnace, they didn't have a hair that was singed. They didn't smell like smoke. They had no examples that they were even near a fire. What a blessing that these three Hebrews experienced because of the persecution. Paul faced this thorn in the flesh all of his life. Many thinks it was his eyes, and he would have people to write because he couldn't see, and thought it was a result of the blinding on the road to Damascus. But we can complain, and we can look at all the bad things that are going on, or we can look to the Lord for His power and strength and watch Him deliver us, because God knows. And so if we're not experiencing that, if we're not enjoying the presence of the Lord, then maybe we need to look at He that hath an ear, let him hear. Maybe we're not listening. Listening, we're still trying to do it ourselves. Everything we're trying to do ourselves. This little church at Smyrna had no opportunity to do anything on their own. They had to depend upon the Lord if they were to stand true, and they did. And so I thought that was kind of a neat examples there of some that go through this time of tribulation. Now, sometimes the tribulation, the more the tribulation, the closer we turn to the Lord. And we have here seven things that this church here faced, and we'll go through those, and then we'll close. And so the first is the word tribulation, means trouble, much trouble. And these seven things the Lord was acknowledging and literally praising. You're going through this. I know you're going through this. And so understand that the Lord is saying to this little church, I know you're going through this. I know of your trials and your tribulation. I know of your poverty. Well, you can say then, why didn't the Lord take that trouble away? Why doesn't he take that poverty away? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He can do anything. He can give them the greatest wealth he can hand to them. He can take every trial and every tribulation away. Some things we don't understand. But one thing we do understand, the more wealth we have and the more we love this world, the further we walk from the Lord. What's the very thing that brought this church to Smyrna to be so strong? It was the tribulation. It was their poverty. They had to depend upon the Lord. The third thing is their, and yet when he said poverty there, of course, he says, but thou art rich. Thou art rich. And that's the only riches that we need to care about. That's the only riches that we need to secure and to possess. And we can do that by seeking the Lord's will. The third is the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews. Now, you can be a Jew by name. It's kind of like being a Presbyterian or a Methodist or a Baptist. I don't care what you are. You're by name. You were brought into that church by the way they bring in members. You were baptized by the way they baptize, and so now you're a member of that church. Well, that's exactly what these people were. They were Jews. And they was holding to the old ways of the Jews. They had ignored Jesus Christ. They did not accept him at all. Some believe that they weren't even really true Jews, period. But the Lord tells us that they're not Jews indeed. You know, you need to be Jews in the heart. Come by faith to the Lord Jesus. So here come all these religious people. You know, we had the Nicolaitans in the church of the of Ephesus there that were coming, that were trying to control and to do everything instead of following the Lord's will. Now here we have these Jews, and the Lord pretty well puts them in the place. You know, we could say that our Lord is not politically correct. Because he said, they're not Jews, but are the synagogue of Satan. And any people, any church, anywhere that denies the personal relationship with Jesus Christ is of just that. If you don't come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are of the synagogue of Satan. That's where you're at. That's where you're going. You just as well be in church with Satan, because you're going to spend eternity with the devil, so you just as well get used to him. You're going to be in the lake of fire with him. And so please that you look each day to see that you're praising the Lord. First of all, that you know the Lord. These Jews were not really Jews at all, especially because they were not coming by faith to the Lord Jesus in name only. And in the fourth, it says, fear none of those things. And we looked at the 10th verse. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Now, as we look at this, fear none of these things. How can we do that? How can we fear someone harming us physically? How can we not fear that? Well, God's word right here says, don't worry about it. Don't be afraid. Be afraid of the one that has control of your heart and your spirit. Don't be afraid of the one that can hurt your body. And that's all that the devil can do. That's all he can do. And you say, well, that's enough. The devil cannot snatch your salvation away. You come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're sealed through eternity with the Lord. What a glorious day. And we need to not be afraid what the devil tries to do to us physically, whether it's through disease or through harm in some way. But fear none of those things, the Scripture says. And this is a word of encouragement. This is a word of strengthening. And the Lord would not tell you to do something if he didn't have the power to provide what was needed. And he says very clearly, fear none of those things. And again, these words are words of encouragement. They're words that come in the midst of great trials and great trouble and great tribulation. And he says, fear none of these things. Don't worry about them. Don't worry about them. And the only way we can do that is if we turn our eyes to Jesus. I'm scared. Lord, take that fear away from me. I don't know what to do, Lord. Lord, give me wisdom. Please give me wisdom what to do. And that's what these people did. And in the fifth here, we have the devil, Satan, shall cast some of you into prison. And so as we look at that, why, it's not that these people had any small amount of persecution. The Lord says, don't worry about those things. And then the next words is, they're going to come and they're going to lock you up. They're going to put you in prison. They're going to come and they're going to kill you. Now, how can the Lord say, don't worry about those things? It's because it's to his honor and to his glory. I think when Stephen looked heavenward and he saw the Lord while he was being stoned, I don't think he felt one of those stones as they were hitting him. I don't think there was any pain involved because his eyes was up on the Lord Jesus and he knew where he was going. And maybe we're not to that place that somebody's throwing stones at us. But we still have the aches and the pains of this life, and we need to look to him and depend upon him and do not fear the things of this world. But that devilly old Satan, he's going to cast some of you into prison. And, you know, sometimes we blame people. People do things to us that harm us and hurt us, or a situation we can't understand. Well, the Lord here calls it like it is. Just like he said, the synagogue of Satan, he also said the devil himself. He's the one. He's the one. You know, we got the flesh, we got the devil, but that old devil, he is always behind the scene pushing those to destroy every Christian and the testimony of the Lord and God's word. He wants to destroy the church. He desires that. And so Jesus goes right to the root of the trouble, which is the devil. And then we have the sixth one here, that 10 days. Have tribulation, have trial 10 days. Tribulation 10 days. There's a couple different thoughts on that, but there were 10 separate periods over a period from about the year 64 all the way up to 313. There were 10 different rulers, Roman rulers, that were really wicked, and the last one was the worst. And they feel like maybe that was this trial that this church was going to have to face through the future was this time. It starts in about 64 and ends in about 313. And then the seventh, because there were seven things here. And the seventh, be thou faithful unto death. The Scripture tells us here in the end of verse 10. Be faithful unto death, even if you're martyred. Once again, don't fear these things. They will receive a special crown. those that go all the way to their death in the name of Jesus Christ will have a special crown. And that crown is the crown of life. Suffering for Christ's sake. We need to hold the words. Hold God's word in our hand. We need to be prepared and ready. God knows every need. God will supply every need. And look at the introductions again as far as who is speaking to us so that we may know him. And once again, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And it's been said a long time ago, you know, born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. If you don't understand that, if you're born physically and you never come by faith to the Lord Jesus, you're never born again, then you will face a physical death, just like all of us will, unless Jesus comes. And if he comes and raptures the church, some of us, maybe all of us, will not have to face even the physical death. But most will face born once, then you face a physical death, and then you face a spiritual death, an eternal separation from your Lord. Eternally, you will never be in the presence of God. The lost today receives the blessings of God. But in that time, in the lake of fire, there will be no presence of God, none. And so, born once, die twice. Or if you're born twice, born physically, then born spiritually, to be born again, to come by faith to the Lord Jesus, then you just die once, if that, just the physical death. Never will we have to face a spiritual death, because immediately upon our death we'll be in the presence of the Lord. Oh, we have so much to be thankful for. This little church here had those that came in, the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, their tribulation, their poverty. They had people arresting them. They had people killing them. They had all these things going on. Now, what kind of worries do we have today? What kind of worries do we have? And yet this little church, along with Philadelphia, had only good things of our Lord to say to them. What would he say to us? And it says here, he that hath an ear, let him hear. And so I hope today that we've heard, that we're listening. Let's close with prayer. Father, we thank you today that you have given us this precious book, your word. And from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation, as we enjoy this wonderful time, this wonderful study, I just ask that you just touch the hearts of all, that they will know, they will know that you're alive, that they'll know that you're real, and that they can trust in you. That they can trust in you for everything. They can call upon you and know that wisdom and that strength and that power will be there through every time and every need. And you're not a God of fear, Father. You're a God of love and peace and joy. So if there's fear in our heart, it comes from none other than the devil. That's his source. So, Father, help us to turn away from the devil and turn unto you, that we may have your strength and power. And again, I just plead, Father, with you that you will come down and touch the hearts of the lost, that those that have not come by faith to you will trust in you. Please, dear Lord, it's a wonderful day to be born again. And Father, it's a wonderful time that we have, that we can come. And what a wonderful place during this closing hymn to come and say that I want to trust in Jesus, or come and say I've just trusted in Jesus and I want to tell the people that I've done so. And so please, Lord, today just touch every one of our hearts. Whatever the need is, we know that you're the supplier of that need. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.